Did you ever have the feeling that you wanted to go, but still had the feeling that you wanted to stay? Hi, I'm Rob West. That's a lyric from a popular song of the 1940s, but it accurately describes how many investors feel these days about the market. Should they stay or should they go? I'll talk about that with Cole Pearson today. We're off, so please hold your phone calls. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, it's a delight to have Cole Pearson with us today. He's president of investment solutions at One Ascent, which is a family of companies in the faith-based investing space and an underwriter of this program. Cole, great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Cole, we get asked a lot, should I get out of the stock market? That's probably because of fear of recession and, of course, all of the volatility we've experienced as of late. So how do you answer that?
Well, Rob, the question, should I get out, implies you have to answer another question. When do I get back in, right?
That's right.
So in times like these, there's a great quote to remember. Investing is about time in the market, not timing the market. You know, one of the most powerful tools that can help investors combat fear and emotional decision making, which is certainly one of the things that we see in the marketplace today, is to have a philosophy or maybe some guiding principles that are actually determined ahead of time.
That helps
you make decisions when fear and emotions take over. So for us at One Ascent, we use three overarching principles, and I'm happy to share those. The first would be values-based. Mm. We believe that God created us to be thoughtful stewards. And so as we're stewarding what we believe to be his assets, shouldn't we think about aligning those with companies that bless people instead of causing harm? So that's a guiding principle.
Yeah.
Number two is globally diversified. You know, diversification predates the stock market. It's often talked about in modern portfolio theory, but Ecclesiastes 11:2 actually says, divide your portion among seven or eight, for you know not what calamity may come. So one of our principles to remember is to diversify. Yeah. The third principle that we use at One Ascent is long-term. We find that, you know, given time, maintaining that long-term perspective is key. We believe that investors who can talk with their advisor, talk with other counselors, who choose the right allocation and can stay the course, ultimately are the ones who find the most success.
Mm.
There was a study that J.P. Morgan did a few years ago that actually found that the average investor underperforms a moderate portfolio by 3% per year over 20 years. So to put that into some dollar terms, if you started with $100,000 over 20 years, you would have missed out on $125,000 of growth. So a difference of 78%. And that's largely because the average investor makes below average decisions, right? You've got a 50-50 chance to get out at the right time and also to get in at the right time. So when you take those two 50-50 decisions, both of which are a coin flip, you've got a 25% chance of success. If you're thinking about when to get out or should I get out, you also need to think about the long-term implications of that, of when I get back in. Hope that makes sense.
It really does, and I think that's really helpful. And I love those overarching principles, because if the purpose of money is to accomplish a set of goals, money being a tool, those goals need to be first informed by our values, right? And so I love that you start there, but then you add to this the idea of diversification, but that long time horizon. And really thinking long term, Cole, is essential to really having the staying power in these difficult times, right?
Absolutely. That's right.
Yeah. So we're going to continue to unpack this just around the corner. The question that is on most folks' minds is, what about a recession? Are we going to have one? And if most economists think we will, what can we do to recession-proof our portfolio? Cole's going to weigh in on that. What about dollar cost averaging? That's a term we throw around a lot, and we want to unpack that as well so we can talk about what it looks like to be systematic in your investing and what are the benefits of that. And then what about poor performance? And let's circle back to this idea of values-based investing as well, where we can really talk about aligning our values with the capital that we're deploying through our 401ks and our investment portfolios every day. We may not realize as believers that we have an opportunity to align our values with our investments. Well, there's a whole growing industry around that for Christians to do just that. Cole Pearson's our guest today. Cole is was president of Investment Solutions at One Ascent, a family of companies in the faith-based investing space, and they're also an underwriter of this program. Much more to come just around the corner on whether to stay in the market or go. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. As you watch the news, or maybe listen to the news, you can easily become discouraged. There are dissensions among individuals, wars among nations. We can describe the world using many words, but peace is not one of them. There is good news, though. Jesus came to bring what we so desperately need, peace. In Colossians, Paul tells his readers that Jesus is the ruler of the world and over the church. What's more, he came to reconcile himself to all things. He came to make things right between humanity and the Father, and then between each other. Paul says that Jesus does this by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. In the end, peace wins. You'll see Christ more clearly through time in God's Word. Visit GetAnchor.com.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. Here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Time magazine called it the Jesus Revolution in the early 70s. Many hippies and young people coming to faith in Christ. It was one of the greatest revivals of the 20th century. Now the story is being told in a new movie. I'm Charles Morris. Join me for Haven Today, all week, and a series called Becoming Jesus People.
Haven Today, weekday mornings at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Listen online at AFR.net.
We are grateful for support from LightPoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LightPoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches, and we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance Program. More information is available at lightpointportfolios.com.
Hope for Zambia, empowered by Family Legacy, is a ministry providing hope to vulnerable and orphan children in Zambia by investing into their spiritual, intellectual, physical, and emotional growth and well-being. Whether distributing 5 million meals each year to students or empowering them to graduate from high school and go on to pursue post-secondary education, we believe that when you educate a child, you change their world. Go to hopeforzambia.com/faith to transform a life.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Joining me today, Cole Pearson, president of Investment Solutions at One Ascent, a family of companies in the faith-based investing space and an underwriter of this program. We're talking today about staying in the market or getting out. It's a question that a lot of our listeners have been asking as of late. And just before the break, Cole gave us a really helpful process to think about our investing with three overarching principles, namely being values-based, being globally diversified, and staying focused on the long term as really the guiding principles so that we don't try to time the market, because we know the data says that's a losing proposition. Cole, as we think about investing right now, of course, there's talk of a recession. So first question would be, should investors be concerned about that? And number two, on the heels of that, can anything be done to, in a sense, recession-proof your portfolio?
Well, recessions are a fact of life. They come and go. That's part of the rhythm of the capital markets. And so no portfolio is recession-proof. But there are certainly things that you can do to make your portfolio recession friendly, perhaps. And I'd reference back to the principles, right? Remember Ecclesiastes, diversification is key. So here are some things that you might be thinking through now based on what our team is seeing in the markets. You might ask this of yourself or your advisor if you have one. One would be, do I have sufficient international exposure? A lot of times as U.S.-based investors, we tend to have what's called home bias. We think about and invest in the things that we know. And so the past decade saw U.S. stocks outperform international by an average of about 6% per year. So that home bias worked well, but things move in cycles, right? Mean reversion is what's called the law of gravity in investing. And so valuation is one of the primary determinants of long-term performance, right? Just like in shopping, what we pay for, the price we buy it for today impacts the long-term outcome. So valuation today in international stocks, they're much less expensive than U.S. stocks. So we need to think about that. Do we have enough exposure there to international stocks? Another would be, am I investing in alternatives or non-traditional assets? That could be things like gold or commodities or hedging strategies, all of which help minimize volatility. You know, one of the biggest risks that we face often as investors is ourselves. And so the fact that we get fearful and make emotional decisions, anything that helps us minimize volatility or smooth out that ride and the experience that we have with our portfolios, those are all things that help us stay invested. So two things that I would ask again today to think about recession and to make sure you're set up appropriately is, do you have the right international exposure? And are you using alternatives or non-traditional assets to help minimize volatility?
Yeah, and that's a key idea, Cole, because often we think about diversification in investing as just stocks and bonds. And obviously that's important, but we can go beyond that. What types of stocks, you're saying, including international, but even going beyond those two asset classes into others is a way to be further diversified, right?
That's right. Those are just tools. Yeah. Ideally, we like to invest in companies. We like to see those businesses grow and bless people as they grow with their intrinsic business and the way the products and services that they sell. But as investors, we can also use all the tools at our disposal. And so there are other, as you mentioned, other asset classes and things we can do to better protect those portfolios.
Yeah. What are some of the benefits, if we can call them that, of investing in a bear market because of what we refer to often as dollar cost averaging?
Well, they provide opportunities, right? They provide entry points for us to put money to work. Again, I mentioned valuation being key. That's the price at which you buy a stock or a bond or whatever the case may be. So bear markets or recessions, pullbacks in the market, they can provide entry points for investors. So they are a fact of life, right? We can't fear them, but it's important to be prepared in how we respond to them. So being prepared. Number one, you know, we shouldn't invest money that we need for our groceries or next month's expenses. We need to make sure that our investment dollars are set up for the long term. Mike Tyson said famously one time that everyone has a plan until you get punched in the mouth. And so that's what a bear market or recession can feel like. We've certainly experienced that in 2022, but we've got to have a plan. So we can use down markets to sell something at a loss if it benefits our tax situation. We can rebalance our portfolios, take advantage of that misalignment to get back in track with our long-term plan. We can evaluate that plan. Is it still the right plan? Is it still going to get us to our end destination or outcome, whatever goal or outcome that we're looking for? But most importantly, we use the plan to avoid making emotional decisions. So preparation and planning can allow investors to weather the storm and using down markets as a tool, again, to come out on the other side.
Yeah, who wants to buy at the top all the time? So it's a great thought. You know, Cole, fear of performance may be one of the biggest reasons that believers shy away from faith-based investing. So how do you convince them that they don't need to worry about that piece of it?
Well, I would say that the investors that we serve certainly care about performance. So it's not that they shouldn't worry about it. Performance matters, right? That's what we're called to do in our jobs, is to be excellent. So we've got to perform well. When I hear questions or concerns about performance and faith-based investing, what I really think people are saying is, what will I miss out on if I can't or if I don't buy fill in the blank, you know, number of stocks?
Sure.
I'm going to miss out on opportunities. And so really just maybe reframing that, every investor has to make some decisions about what they will and won't invest in, right? You've got to have a decision-making process to make those decisions. Even the S&P 500, which is often viewed as a passive, you know, quote unquote investment option, there's a predetermined, you know, criteria list. And there's actually a group of people, many don't know this, there's a group of people who meet regularly to decide who's in and who's out. So all investing requires decision making. Faith-based investing is no different. It's just an approach for deciding what we will and what we won't invest in. but it's an approach that, as believers, it allows us to be good stewards of the assets that God has entrusted to our care. So at One Ascent, the way that we kind of combat this, the way we make those decisions and ultimately hopefully lead to good performance is three things. First, we eliminate companies from our universe whose products or practices are causing harm. So we take those out. Those are the ones that we want to avoid. That helps get our metaphorical haystack smaller. But then we evaluate. We're trying to find companies that are meeting our investment objectives. They need to be great investments. And lastly, we elevate those companies who are making the world a better place. So when we kind of follow this process, we believe this leads to ultimately investing in companies that are two things. First, they're great investments. Again, performance matters. Without margin, there is no mission. We need to make money. We need to be excellent at that. But we want to be investing in great businesses that through the products, through the services that they offer, are actually making the world a better place. And so thankfully, faith-based investing is a maturing, but also a rapidly growing space within our industry, and the performance concerns are becoming fewer and fewer. There are several great funds that I could point you to that have strong, even 10-plus year track records. And those firms and those funds are debunking that performance myth. But what I'm even more excited about than that is that it seems like every month, more managers, more funds are coming out. That way, investors who desire to align their values, their faith, and their wealth, they have options. And so One Ascent is one of those, and we're very excited to be a part of this movement to perform well, but also to be faithful stewards with what we're doing and the assets that are entrusted to our care, and excited to partner with organizations like yours, like Faith and Finance.
Well, we are as well. Unfortunately, we're out of time. We'll have you back real soon. How can folks get more information?
Yeah, you can find more information on our website. OneAscent.com would be the great place to start to learn about value-based investing and ways that we could potentially serve you.
Awesome. Cole, thanks for stopping by, my friend.
It was my pleasure, Rob. Thanks for having me.
That's Cole Pearson with One Ascent, an underwriter of this program. Again, the website, OneAscent.com. That's OneAscent.com. Back with your calls just after this. Stay with us.
Friendships is offering an exciting opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God, become physically fit, and learn relief ministry while serving in the Middle East. This is an amazing opportunity to serve God and experience Israel. Check out Seahawk's one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session begins August 19th.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Forget about Facebook.
The last 10 days we've been banned twice, and is unbanning a word?
They put us under the ban. Christians and conservatives
don't need you, YouTube.
Banned one day, banned again.
AFR programs are now live streaming on the AFA streaming app. Now you can get shows like Today's Issues straight from the source.
Put back on the next.
Just say unbanned.
Unbanned.
Just search AFA streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
American Family Association President Tim Wildman.
Dad was concerned about the direction America was headed, and he was determined to do something about it. Maybe that describes you today. If it does, I want to strongly encourage you to consider a charitable gift annuity to American Family Association Foundation.
Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry,
Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Thanks for joining us on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Phone lines aren't open today since this is a recorded program, but we have some great questions we think you will find helpful. Let's begin today in Pennsylvania. Hi, Nancy. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for taking my call. Sure. I have about 6 years ago, I took a Bank of America credit card, and I've been paying all my monthly bills on that, and I receive reward money. And I now have $3,000 in reward money. I heard a rumor that the government is looking to tax that. They're figuring out how to tax the reward money. Have you heard anything about that?
Well, if the reward is an incentive, Nancy, for opening the account or perhaps referring someone else who opens an account and it didn't require spending any money, the IRS views that as taxable income. And the way you would know that is you would get a 1099 MISC, which stands for miscellaneous income, and then you would need to report it and pay taxes on it, even if it's less than $600. But the kind of reward you're describing is not taxable. So these are cash back rewards. These are basically viewed as the IRS as a rebate, and therefore it's not taxable income. So you should not have to pay any taxes on that money. And the fact that you've been letting it accrue doesn't change anything. So you can either apply it to your statement balance or have that, transfer that to your checking account or something like that.
Yeah, I have it transferred to a savings account with them, but okay. It's not drawing anything. I just had opened up a Capital One online savings after hearing that you guys say it's important to do that. I do have an account that's paying me 4.0 in that savings account. I'm considering moving it over there. So
I think that's a great idea.
I'm glad to hear.
All right, Nancy. Thanks for calling today. We appreciate it. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's head to Kansas. Hi, Gail. How can I help you?
Hi, Rob. Thanks for taking my call, and thank you for your program. It's so informative. I've learned so many things that may or may not have applied to me, but it's just expanded my knowledge. So thank you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
My question is regarding document retention, specifically income tax returns and all the supporting documents that go along with that. I've done a little research, and basically I'm getting some similar information, some conflicts. My concern is that my husband was self-employed for 30 years. He's retired now, but we have all kinds of documents and receipts and spreadsheets and everything that supports the claims that we've made. We also have done some real estate investing, where we've done some flipping, where we've done rentals. We have this year divested ourselves of our last real estate. We are so excited that we're out of the business. But anyway, we're just wondering if there are any of these situations that would warrant holding on to documents longer. My husband is concerned if we were ever concerned of submitting fraudulent returns, that if we've shredded everything, we wouldn't have any proof.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. The 7-year rule is really supported pretty widely. It's considered sufficient, even based on guidance from the IRS in terms of saving income tax documents. It's not a bad idea to keep real estate documents forever. I mean, we're talking about deeds, that type of thing, since a litigation could come after several years. But any supporting documentation with regard to the taxes you paid and justifying deductions and and expenses and so forth. 7 years really is the time frame that is recommended. Beyond that, there really is not a need to keep anything beyond 7 years. But again, if it's purchased property, you want to be able to show the amount you originally paid for it. You know, you would keep those documents forever. If you, you know, did not file a return each year, obviously you'd need to keep records indefinitely. But beyond that, establishing the original cost basis and, you know, deeds, you know, important filing documents like that, anything that's just establishing the taxes that you owe, really that 7 year limit is sufficient.
Okay, very good. May I ask one other question then?
Of course.
Mm-hmm. I have two teenage granddaughters, and I've made some comments about credit score, and they'll say, what's a credit score? And I'm beginning to think that we need to try to help them learn some things about money management while they're still at home and in high school. Do you have any resource that you would recommend that I could use to help them?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I would love to see you begin to help them understand, you know, not only the financial literacy side, but in addition to that, really God's perspective on handling money and these themes and principles we see in God's Word. I'd love to send you a book that perhaps reading it with them could be a great way to get them going in the right direction. It's a new book out from Focus on the Family. It's called Trusted, and it's around preparing your kids for a lifetime of God-honoring money management. We'll put that in the mail to you. It's by my friend Matt Bell, and it'll be our gift to you, but I think that could be a great resource to get you going in the right direction. I agree, Gail. This is really important. You know, as we begin to prepare these future adults, not only to understand the dangers of debt and the value of hard work and that money is limited and therefore we need a spending plan and a budget to show restraint and that we should give generously because that breaks the grip of money over our lives, but also the bigger idea that God owns it all and therefore we're stewards of God's resources and that really he gives resources to us. Ultimately, our purpose is for generosity based on what we see in Scripture. And you beginning to teach and model and train to these ideas, I think, is really critical to set them up for a lifetime of success in terms of understanding what it means to live free and content and generous lives. So stay on the line. We'll get your information and we'll put this book in the mail to you. Again, it's called Trusted by Matt Bell, preparing your kids for a lifetime of God-honoring money management. Thanks for being on the program today and for your kind remarks, Gail. We appreciate it. More to come on Faith and Finance right after this. We'll be right back.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. See, we don't have to engage in psychological brainwashing techniques and all this nonsense that the left traffics in because they're godless. For the most part, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. That's how we fight.
Tune in to The Awakening, weekdays at noon Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
When we follow Jesus, the things of this world grow strangely dim. We focus less on ourselves and more on God's kingdom. In Michael Blue's book, Free to Follow, we're reminded to surrender everything to Jesus and follow Him. Free to Follow explores what the Bible says about money and possessions and challenges you to rethink the way you view and use them. Request a copy of Free to Follow with your gift of any amount to faithfi.com/follow.
Hi, I'm Kirby Anderson, president of Probe Ministries and host of the Point of View radio program. You've probably noticed that many young Christians leave the church after they graduate, but they don't have to graduate from God. That's why I want to invite your children and grandchildren to attend the Probe Mind Games Camp in Texas. We prepare them for college and their entry into a world that will challenge their faith. This one-week camp includes lectures, role play, along with some great fun. It will take place June 18 to the 24th. Go to probe.org for more information.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Hey, the year's almost done. No, not the calendar year. It's the end of our fiscal year here at FaithFi. And if you're a regular listener to this program, you consider yourself a part of the Faith and Finance family, and you've found some benefit in the teaching and practical advice here on this program, well, we'd like to invite you to be a supporter of the ministry as we head toward our fiscal year end, June the 30th. Your gifts now, which are tax deductible, are really important to us. Whether you could give $40, $400, or $4,000, it all will help us to reach our goal. You can do that at faithfi.com. Just click give. That's faithfi.com. Just click give. Thanks in advance. Let's head right back to the phones to Lake Worth, Florida. Hi, Sandra. Go right ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Thank you for all the knowledge that you provided. I really appreciate that. And I do apply some of them that I remember. But anyway, let me ask my question.
Sure.
I've been filing tax for a while now, but this year I filed my tax. And my tax was rejected. They told me because it shows that I have insurance with the government through Obamacare, which I never do. I never apply for any health insurance through the government. I have insurance through my job. I just don't know what to do. I've been calling IRS, but I can't find nobody to talk with. So I don't know what else to do. I called up the insurance place is called Marketplace. They told me that they're going to put in an investigation, but that's all they told me. I haven't heard anything yet.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, I would definitely get some professional assistance with that. I'm a little confused by that. I mean, normally when we hear about this, somebody's surprised by a rejection, a lot of times it's because they're saying they've already received a return. Unfortunately, this is on the rise. That would be where somebody steals your Social Security number and files a fraudulent return to receive your refund. And then when you try to file e-file, it would be rejected. But, you know, if that's not the case and there's another reason why the return is being rejected, it's probably because there's a missing form on there. Failure to report health coverage will result in a rejected return, and that might be what's going on here. So did you file this yourself, or did you have somebody do that for you?
No, I went to a professional. They always file my tax every year. I've been filing with them for like 5 years now.
Okay.
And that's the first time this happened. And
okay.
She asked me, do I have health insurance with the government? I told her no.
All right. Yeah. So that's one of the benefits of using somebody to file on your behalf is that you can chase down these problems and let them do the work for you and find out why it was rejected and what the issue is and get this resolved. So I would just wait for her to get the information for you, and she should be able to help you rectify the situation.
That's why I call you guys, because she told me she can't. I'm the one that have to do the research. So okay. Thank God you guys answered me. But
well, I appreciate it. Unfortunately, I'm not a CPA, and I wouldn't be able to do this digging for you. You really need somebody who can take the rejection information and help you understand exactly why it was rejected, and if there's something that's incorrect with regard to why the government is saying they can't, why the IRS is saying they can't accept it, what you need to do to rectify it. And unfortunately, that's not something we can do over the radio. That really requires a tax professional. So I would kick this back to them and say, listen, this is why I'm paying you. I need you to help me resolve this. Where do I go from here to be able to prove, you know, whether or not this rejection is appropriate and get this rectified. If you need a second opinion, you could reach out to a certified Kingdom advisor in your area, and you could find one on our website at faithfi.com. I'm sorry, though, Sandra. I know this is frustrating, and hopefully with some help of a competent professional, you can get to the bottom of it. We appreciate your call today. Let's head to Chicago. Hi, Debbie. Go right ahead.
Hi. If you're going to buy a car, is it better to borrow money out of your, like, 401k or when you can, like, take a loan out, and that way you're paying back interest to yourself? Or is it best to let that money keep working for you towards your retirement and just get a car loan?
Yeah. You know, even though rates are up right now on loans, I still like the idea of you borrowing for the car purchase as little as you possibly can, paying it off as quick as you can, but not taking it from the 401k. I understand why that might sound appealing, because as you said, you're taking your own money out. You can put it back in through paying it back, and you're paying interest to yourself. The problem is the whole idea of putting it in there is so that it can be growing for the future. So you're missing out on that compounded growth while the money's out. Not only that, but right now you're pulling it out during a time when the market's down, and we don't know when it's going to recover, but you want that money in there so that it can recover when the market does, even though it will likely go down more before it goes up. And then thirdly, if for some reason, for any reason, you separated from the company, now all of a sudden that's all taxable to you, plus a penalty if you're less than 59 and a half. So I think for those reasons, as much as I don't like to pay any interest, I would borrow the money collateralized by the car itself, and then just try to pay it back as quick as you can.
Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right. Very good. We appreciate your call. To Zephyr Hills, Florida. Hi, Nancy. Go right ahead.
Hi, Rob. I'm calling because I have a question regarding retirement and Social Security. I work for the federal government, and because of the windfall tax profit, they take my Social Security at a rate of, I think, 2/3. And I've talked to people, and they get like $1,200 a month Social Security, and I was getting $2 a month. So I'm like, something's not right here. And I went to the Social Security office. They reviewed my case. They said, oh, well, you can't have two pensions from the government. And because I'm getting a retirement pension, they say I can't pursue the Social Security allotment.
Yeah.
So
and
I'm hoping unfortunately, perhaps you could shine some.
Well, no, the only way that you could have this reversed is if you are not eligible for another pension. But if you are eligible for another pension, then unfortunately that windfall elimination provision is going to apply, usually cutting the benefits in half or perhaps even more. And it comes from working for the federal government or another state or local government where you are eligible for another pension, and they then limit your ability to earn Social Security because of that. So if, in fact, you do have that other pension, then there's not going to be another way around this, unfortunately.
Even though I paid into the system 40 quarters working outside of the government as well.
Yeah.
I don't understand, you know.
Yeah.
It's like for somebody who didn't work with the federal government, they're getting their full Social Security amount, and they have their 40 quarters in. But because I worked for the federal government, they take it. They take 2/3 of my Social Security.
Right, right. And it's because, this other pension that's available through the work that you did. And I understand the frustration there, but they're only going to give you one or the other, unfortunately. So I think, if you feel like, something's not right, you could obviously go in and see if you could get somebody face to face and try to understand a bit more. But unfortunately, if that other pension is available, they're not going to give you both. as much as I wish I had better information for you. I'm so sorry to hear your situation, Nancy. We do appreciate you being on the program today, and may God bless you in the days ahead. By the way, if you haven't checked out the FaithFi app, we'd love for you to do that. You can learn more and download it today at faithfi.com. What will you find? Well, broadcast archives as well as all of our content, what we believe is the best content, articles, videos, podcasts, and biblical finance, all right there in the palm of your hand, plus our FaithFi community, where folks are asking questions, getting answers every day, stewards just helping each other on their journey. You'll find it at faithfi.com. Just click app. Much more to come. Stay with us.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers Real Truth for Today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
Hannah's Heart, a half-hour program specifically designed to encourage Christian couples walking through infertility and miscarriage.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome, mm-hmm. but this is a show that says however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hannah's Heart with Ann Cockrell and Kendra White each Saturday afternoon at 5 Central on American Family Radio. You can find the podcast at afr.net.
45,000. That's how many times FaithFi referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
It's great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. All right, let's head right back to the phones. We'll get to as many questions as we can here in this final segment. To New York we go. Hi, Judy. Go right ahead.
Yes. Hi, Rob. I listen to your program every day. Please continue the good work that God has called you to. Okay. Yes. I would like to for you to guide me. I have one daughter, and I figure I'll make it simple for her. So I did a quick deed claim and put her name on the deed. And I put her the beneficiary for all my bank accounts and my life insurances, just to make it simple for her. Then I, by listening to you, I heard I should have done a trust fund for her so that she didn't have to pay taxes on the condo. Am I right?
Yeah, and so you've already done the quick claim deed, is that right?
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. The challenge with that is then she is going to inherit your cost basis, which basically just means once she goes to sell the property, either after your life or you all decide to sell it together. But let's say she holds on to it and somewhere down the road after you've gone home to be with the Lord, she sells it. The capital gains is going to be determined based on your original purchase price. If you would have passed it to her as a through an inheritance, whether that's through a trust or just a basic will or a transfer on death deed, then she gets the stepped up basis. So the cost basis for determining capital gains would be stepped up to the market value as of the date of your death. So unfortunately, when you do that quit claim deed, that's going to mean that she inherits your cost basis. So she'll just have some additional taxes to pay when she sells it. That's the reason why we typically don't want to do that. But if that's already done, then that's kind of behind us. And I think from this point forward, you just, as you've been doing, just make sure all your will is current, your beneficiaries are current, and then, you know, you're ready whenever the Lord takes you home, you know, you'll efficiently pass the rest of your assets to her.
Great. I was avoiding the will, but from talking to you, I'm going to do a will.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, unfortunately, I'm not sure. You could talk to a real estate attorney and see if there's any way to unwind that, but I'm afraid that you've, since you've already quit claim deeded this property over to her, she's now a 50% owner or whatever percent you gave her. And again, that inherits your original cost basis. But for any of these types of issues, as you make your wealth transfer plans, always good to get the counsel of an attorney. So hopefully that helps you. We appreciate your call, Judy. Thanks for your kind remarks and for listening to the program every day. We appreciate it. To Ohio, Marianne, go right ahead.
Hi, I have an income tax coming to me about $15,000. And I wanted to know what would be the best way to make more money off of it. I don't know about CDs or mutual funds or stocks or bonds or anything like that.
Sure. So do you already have, Marianne, what I call an emergency fund, a liquid savings account of 3 to 6 months expenses?
No, sir, but I've heard you talk about it.
Okay. I think that's probably the place to start, which means I wouldn't invest this money, meaning I wouldn't put it in stocks and bonds and try to grow it, because with that, you really only want to do that if you have a long time horizon. And, you know, if we don't have an emergency fund, that's the place to begin. Now, this is good news that you've got this money coming to you, and it'd be a great way to get that emergency fund started. So what I would do is when it comes in, I'd go ahead and open a high-yield savings account, probably with an online bank. You could use Marcus or Capital One 360, or if you wanted a bank that aligned with your Christian values, you could use the Christian Community Credit Union at joinchristiancommunity.com. But you would link that to your checking account and then go ahead and move this over. Let's call this the beginning of your emergency fund, with a goal of getting this to 3 to 6 months expenses. And then when the unexpected comes, this is what you use, you know, to fall back on, so you don't have to borrow anything. And if this isn't equal to 3 to 6 months expenses, you could keep, you know, building this up. With additional funds, that's where you'd want to invest, where you've got truly a minimum of a 10-year time horizon. I'd probably start with a company-sponsored retirement plan. If you don't have one, you could use a Roth IRA. But that's how I would approach this $15,000. Does that make sense?
Yes. With the Roth IRA, what do they usually yield?
They don't yield anything. So the Roth IRA is just simply the type of account. So you have a joint account with you and a spouse. You'd have an individual account. And then a Roth IRA is an account category that's a retirement account. And it basically allows for you to put in after-tax dollars up to $6,500 a year under age 50, and then invest that inside the Roth. So you put in cash, and then once it's in there, you can choose whatever investments you want: CDs, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, exchange traded funds. And as those investments grow inside the Roth IRA, then they're not affected by the taxes. And then when you pull the money out, including all the gains, it's tax free, as long as you do it after age 59 and a half, and as long as the account's been open for at least 5 years. So the Roth doesn't have a yield. Again, that's just the account type. It really has to do with what investments you put inside of it.
All right.
Okay.
Are there any certified Kingdom advisors in this area?
There probably are. I would say, though, if you're just getting started, you're probably not going to be able to work with a certified Kingdom advisor, just because their typical minimums are a little higher than for someone who's just getting started. So what I would probably do is check with our friends at soundmindinvesting.org. They could help you with some investment strategies, make some mutual fund selections that would be helpful to you. Again, soundmindinvesting.org. The other thing I would mention to you, Marianne, is if all of this this money is coming as a tax refund and you're getting $15,000 back, that's an interest-free loan that you made to the government for a year with a lot of money. And I'd much prefer to see you get that into your monthly paycheck and get that refund down as close to zero as possible. And that means you need to update your W-4 form. And there's a formula on the form that'll tell you how to fill it out. But there's no sense in letting the government hold on to that money to you. I'd rather that be in your check every month so you can use it to fund your long-term investments or your savings, things like that. Hopefully that helps you. We appreciate your call today. Let's head to Lainey in Chicago. Go right ahead.
Yes, I have a question. I live on the north side. I'm 65. And I paid into an insurance, life insurance, first was term and then went to whole. And that insurance company went out of business without letting me know. I never got any policy or my book back or payment. I was just switched back and forth. And I had that ever since I was 14. Now I'm 65, with nowhere to be buried.
Yeah, and so you're wondering what to do about the policy, is that right?
I don't have any. The person took everything, the policy, the books, and they just went out of business. I contacted the Attorney General's office. They said that they don't deal with individual cases. It's normally businesses. They recommend that I get a private attorney, which I'm on a fixed income and I have no other income.
Okay. So, again, I'm a little confused as to what's happened here. So, was this a whole life policy that had some cash value that built up in it?
It was a term life when I was 14. I paid up until I was 26, and then it went whole life. And now I'm 65. They took my money all the way up to, I would say, now. And now they went out of business. And I was told they went out in 2016, just finding this out. And I have no way of contacting anyone.
Yeah.
They went into another name. The agent told me that there was nothing I could do. It was like bragging, you know. That.
Did you talk? So policies are insured by the state Guarantee Association Fund in the state of Illinois. That's going to be the IHIGA, it's the Illinois Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association. Is that who you contacted?
I didn't get the other part.
Okay.
Life and Guarantee.
Yeah, so visit this website to learn more, and perhaps this could give you some next steps. It's IHIGA.org. That's IHIGA.org. That's the Guarantee Association there in the state of Illinois that guarantees these policies, and it should be insured up to $300,000 in death benefits, although that's not an issue here, but also up to $100,000 in cash surrender or withdrawal values. So again, that's IHIGA.org. Lainey, I know this is frustrating. I hope that can help you get some answers. We appreciate your call today. Let's see, to Jupiter, Florida. Hi, Diane, go ahead.
Hi, I've been researching possible life insurance policies to pay off my mortgage for my children at the time of my death. I refinanced it a couple years ago. I have $153,000 on it, but I just turned 74 a couple weeks ago. So everyone that's been quoting me prices for a 10-year, it of course it's going to be pricey because I'm older. So sure. $240 to $300 a month. Would it be wiser for me to take that money? Because in a couple of months, I'm getting a small inheritance, which I'm going to wipe out all my credit cards. Would it be better to use that money instead of using for insurance company? Use it and put it down on the principal on the house?
Absolutely. Yes. There's not a reason for insurance here. The reason we have life insurance is to offset a risk, a loss of income or a hardship that would be placed on our loved ones at our death. That's not going to be the case here. If your kids inherit the house and there's still a mortgage on it, they'll sell the house and use the proceeds to pay off the mortgage, and then they can split the rest. So you paying an exorbitant amount for life insurance at your age for a death benefit to cover a mortgage, that already has some equity in it, there's really not a benefit to do that. I think you take this money and put it towards shoring up your own financial foundation. I completely agree, Diane. Thanks for your call today. God bless you. That's going to do it for us today, folks. Thanks to my team, Devin Patrick, Pat Montague, and Jim Henry. Couldn't do it without them. Thank you for being here as well. Hope you have a great rest of your day, and come back and join us tomorrow. Lord willing, I'll be here, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.